The time is 6 o'clock. This is Radio Ghana, the news presented by Jonathan Thompson. In the headlines, tertiary institutions directed to resume next Wednesday. Former aviation minister hails the government's decision to establish new national airline, but cautions against complacency. Four people confirmed dead following chemical explosion in Tema Community 12. Security forces deployed in Monrovia to enforce quarantine in slum areas to curb spread of Ebola. And Thailand's junta leader Prayut Chan-o-cha named new prime minister. First, we take the summary with Yvonne Akilebu.
Tertiary institutions have been directed to reopen next week Wednesday. The date was arrived at after the government interministerial team on Ebola assessed preparedness of both public and private tertiary institutions. This was contained in a statement signed by the sector minister, Professor Nana Jane Opoku Ajeman. A former Minister of Aviation in the Kufuor administration, Joe Bedu Ansah, has commended the move by government to establish a new national carrier, but warned that all the necessary measures must be taken to ensure there is no room for failure. Four people have been confirmed dead in a chemical explosion that occurred at a residential area near the Adonai Chapel in Tema Community 12. The victims are all men, including the owner of the house, who is said to be a sub-chief from the eastern region. Security forces have been deployed in Liberia's capital, Monrovia, to enforce a quarantine in a large slum area in order to contain the spread of Ebola. The move set off protests from angry residents in West Point, where people gathered at roadblocks to complain. And Thailand's junta leader, General Prayut Chan-o-cha, has been named the new prime minister. General Prayut, age 60, was nominated in a legislature handpicked by the junta and made up of mostly military and police figures.
TBC mastering the airwaves with nothing but quality news and programming.
Now the news in detail. Government, through the interministerial team on Ebola, has fixed the 27th of this month as the new reopening date for all tertiary institutions. The date was arrived at after the team assessed preparedness measures of public and private tertiary institutions. The reopening date was postponed because of fear of possible outbreak of Ebola. A statement signed by the Minister of Education, Professor Nana Jane Opoku Ajeman, urges all tertiary institutions to share their preparedness plan with the Ministry of Education by the 25th of this month. The team also hinted that all frontline health professionals working with tertiary institutions will be provided with personal protective equipment in due course. Government promises to provide further information on Ebola in the fight against the disease. The Coalition of Concerned Teachers, CCT, have threatened to embark on an industrial action immediately school resumes. They are therefore calling on their members to abide by their intended action. The Eastern Regional Chairman of the Association, Samuel Adri, said this in an interview at the region's first executive meeting in Kofodia. Mr. Adri said the reasons for their action are due to the inability of government to address their grievances after numerous deliberations. They cited the inability of government to pay their arrears, which include teacher transfer grants. He noted that the association has gone through the necessary channels for their grievances to be addressed, but to no avail. They are therefore pleading with government to, as a matter of urgency, address their grievances. The meeting was also used to inaugurate three committees, namely research and publicity, welfare, as well as disciplinary and conflict resolution. Other issues discussed included the licensing and welfare of teachers. 65 needy but capable Ghanaian Muslim students in tertiary institutions are to benefit from Islamic Development Bank scholarships for the 2014-2015 academic year. The total number of beneficiaries being supported by direct Islamic Development Bank sponsorship from DEDA is 39, worth not less than $1,700. The number being supported for the local scholarship is 26, also worth 52,000 Ghana cedis. Each beneficiary of the local scholarship will receive 2,000 cedis, which is more than the annual fees per year for non-fee paying medical students of the KNUST. This was disclosed by the chairman of the IDB Education Trust in Ghana, Alhaji Rahim Bada Musi, at the swearing of oath of compliance ceremony by beneficiaries of the scholarship in Accra. We'll bring you more.
According to Alhaji Bada Musi, the number of the beneficiaries supported with local scholarship last year was 25, and the amount disbursed was 37,500 Ghana cedis, while $61,200 was the amount disbursed directly from Jeddah. He said there's a lot of money to support Muslim students in Ghana, and efforts must be made to sustain it. Alhaji Bada Musi said much has been done to convince the benefactors that Ghanaian Muslims appreciate their generosity and are grateful for it. The chairman announced that the 22 IDB graduates have so far made payment of 30% or more of their loans, with 8 completing payment, but added that it could still be better. He said some IDB graduates are refusing to pay back after being gainfully employed for more than 25 years, behaving as if to wish that the program would end in Ghana. In his remarks, the vice chairman of the IDB Education Trust Fund, Hudu Mokhtari, reminded the IDB graduates of their obligation to pay back unconditionally the total amount spent on them under the scholarship when they have successfully completed their studies and are gainfully employed. He stressed that the scholarship is supposed to be a grant to the Muslim community, but an interest-free loan to capable but needy Muslim students to be paid back into a trust and recycled for more scholarships to every needy Muslim youth. The chairman of the occasion, Colonel Amadou Idrissa, one-time minister of state in the Achampong regime, welcomed the idea of such a scholarship for needy Muslim students, adding that but for a similar scholarship some of them enjoyed long ago, they could not have attained the height they reached. He therefore urged the beneficiaries to begin to honor their obligations to the letter, since they would be doing a disservice to their claim of being good Muslims, and it is honor to themselves and all those who stood as guarantors for them to access the scholarship.
That was a news desk report. The Ministry of Transport has signed a contract for transaction advisory services for the establishment of a national airline. The airline, which will be operated on a public-private partnership basis, will see Ghana have a reliable home-based national airline. The World Bank will give support in providing guidance and funding for the engagement. The Sector Minister, Jifa Tivo, who said this at the signing ceremony in Accra, called on the lead transaction advisor, PwC Ghana, to undertake business studies and interrogate financial models, as well as engage experts in the airline business to partner government to establish and run the national carrier. Here is a report by Antoine Etaba and Ikia Yeboa.
Ghana has been without a national airline since the collapse of Ghana Airways some years ago. To revive the industry, the Ministry of Transport has taken steps to use the PPP initiative to set up a national airline in the development of the aviation industry. Mrs. Ativo said the establishment of a national airline would compete with other carriers operating in Ghana and could force fares down. She advised the PwC to work closely with the Ministries of Transport and Finance to ensure the desired results are achieved.
Government has adopted the public-private partnership, that's the PPP, as a strategic investment option to finance and develop the needed infrastructure and services in the country. Viable home-based national airline to provide regional, sub-regional, intercontinental air transport service is in line with the Ministry's policy of making the Kutuka International Airport an aviation hub within the West African sub-region. It will facilitate the process to enable Ghana to gain back the FAA Category 1 status. The transaction advisors are expected to work closely with the Ministry as well as the Minister of Finance to ensure that the project is brought to a financial closure in an efficient and timely manner to achieve the desired objectives.
The PwC country senior partner, Felix Adu, said they have learned a lot of lessons from the mistakes of the two defunct national airlines and will do well to avoid such mistakes. He said PwC will link with international and local aviation experts so they bring the best to the industry.
As you do know, we have been associated with the national airline, the previous airlines, in various forms. They will be bringing the experience, the lessons learned from this particular Ghanaian airline to bear on this project. Ghana is on a very solid trajectory for growth. Despite the current challenges we have, the World Bank has confidence in Ghana, has confidence in our ability to deliver. Even though the contract says 13 months, we do our very best to come in earlier than that with help from all of you, so that at least we will see our airlines in the skies again.
The lead specialist coordinator at the World Bank, Jibrila Issa, said Ghana has made a lot of progress in sustaining growth, but can do better by addressing the infrastructure gap. He said the World Bank will continue to support the country to bring out viable projects.
That's a report by Antoinette Abba and Ekwia Yeboah. A former Minister of Aviation in the Kufuor administration, Joe Biduansa, has welcomed government's move to establish a new national carrier, but warned that all the necessary measures must be taken to ensure there is no room for failure. He called for the removal of state interference and the need to learn from past mistakes in the running of Ghana International Airline. Mr. Biduansa said the element of private-public partnership is a good start.
I think it would be good to have a national airline, but before we do that, we have to go back and have a look at what went wrong with our role so far, the role of the state in having a national airline. But having it is a very good thing. But then if we're going to go in, we shouldn't fail again.
What do you think we should be doing at this point in time in order not to suffer the same fate as the previous airlines, that is Ghana Airways and Ghana International Airlines?
I think that if you take Ghana Airways, it was mismanaged. I heard the minister saying that they had some problems and state had to push in some money. I disagree with that. You don't keep taking money into something that's... Or if you look at the value and amount of money that was required, I mean, it was not worth it. The best way was the way that Ghana Airways went, because it was an airline that at a point, at any given point, I mean, it was disappointing people. People would be in and then they would have... The court would seize the plane, you know. So it was getting a bad name because of the debt. Level of debt was just too much. That's the way it should have gone. But then with the second one, I think that the second one, I don't know eventually how it was collapsed, but I think that if we're going to go into airline, maybe we should look at capacity, etc. We should look at not really doing any politics with it. Competent companies, competent management running the airline. I think that we should also be looking at the mistake of one of the things that went wrong with the Ghana International Airline was the fact that maybe we should have acquired the airline because of the lease. It was not profitable.
Well, Mr. Biduansa, I remember very well the MPP pride itself with this accolade and believes in the, you know, private sector-led growth. Now, this government is championing public-private partnership. Are you happy with this turn of event?
I am. I think that is the way to go. It is a business venture. Definitely, airline is business. So we should have a private sector participating, and I think good management as well.
Now, the former Minister of Aviation in the Kufuor administration, Joe Biduansa. An oil and gas expert, Senior Hosi, says Ghana's high expectation of the impact of the oil and gas will remain a mirage unless the knowledge, participation and infrastructure gap is significantly bridged and driven by the Ghanaian entrepreneur. He said though over $1 billion has been invested in infrastructure in the sector, engineering and construction skills applied in these investments continue to rest with foreign contractors. Speaking at the launch of the first oil and gas fund in Accra, Mr. Hosi said the indigenous entrepreneur has shown leadership and ability to drive the sector, hence the need for Ghanaians to lead, Irabna Paha reports.
The Western Oil and Gas Fund is an open-ended mutual fund approved, licensed and regulated by the Securities and Exchange Commission. It seeks to achieve growth in income and capital by investing primarily in a diversified portfolio of listed equities and fixed income instruments. Mr. Hosi said equity and debt funding continues to be a challenge for the industry since so much value is lost out of the economy as key sectors continue to have less local participation.
In realizing the impact of oil and gas in our very very large if we still have knowledge and the participation of Ghanaians in the sector as wide as we currently have. I think our guests would have even food is even done by some foreign players. Obviously, you should realize that it's time for the Ghanaian entrepreneur to realize how well positioned Ghana is as far as we trying to set Ghana as a key hub for West Africa and refine production, distribution, logistics, whatsoever. That is very viable in West Africa today.
That was Irabna Paha's report. The Minister of Lands and Natural Resources, Nii Osa Mills, has expressed his ministry's resolve to focus more on lesser-known minerals, with special emphasis on salt mining. He said Ghana has placed so much attention on gold and other top minerals to the detriment of salt, which is a valuable asset for economic transformation in neighboring countries like Senegal and Nigeria. The minister said this when he paid an industrial visit to the head office of the Minerals Commission in Accra.
The Mines and Natural Resources Minister, Nii Osa Mills, reiterated the importance of the mining sector, which he said generates significant revenue for the nation. He said the production of salt is one area with massive potential, which is yet to be tapped. He said his ministry will seek to explore areas like Ada, where salt production is prominent, and create the enabling environment for the revival of salt mining companies and other investors to develop the industry.
We are all aware of the importance that gold plays in the economy. There's of course also other minerals as well. Along the west coast of Africa, we have only Senegal and Ghana that produce solar salt. But in Ghana, the hugest potential is a 30 square miles more or less area in Ada area called Songo, as you all know, very famous. There's so much potential that is unrealized. I want to see a situation where during my time, we try to make a few steps forward. And we want to see a situation where going forward, we try to get all issues linked together and resolve once the borrow to allow us to bring in strategic investors and mine for salt. We can earn hundreds of millions of dollars for the economy.
Nii Osa Mills also stated his readiness to tackle illegal mining, also known as galamsey, saying that such activities are a threat to the environment and a loss in revenue for the nation. Monitoring of small and large-scale miners will also be stepped up in the various districts and regions. The chief executive of the Minerals Commission, Dr. Tony Orban, noted that illegal mining is still a big challenge to tackle in the country. He however said the commission has adopted measures to improve efficiency in the documentation of small-scale miners and to check galamsey.
Small-scale mining, illegal mining is an issue. We know that there are some areas that we could do better as a commission, especially in matter of the time required for a license to be finished. We are working on reducing that. I mentioned the 2412 principle that we have adopted, that we will not let any material, any document sit in our office for more than 12 hours. You know, for our directors, but for me, for more than 24 hours, except of course if I'm out of here, we want to introduce some more efficiencies into this. So rest assured, Honorable Minister, that you have a dedicated staff very committed to working with you to ensure that Ghana's minerals are exploited sustainably for the benefit of the entire country.
Some members of staff during an interaction with the minister asked him to use his influence to speed up the implementation of the minerals and mines policy, which has been in its draft stage for years. Others also appealed to the Ministry of Mines and Natural Resources to liaise with traditional rulers in giving out lands to potential miners and the need to deal with galamsey operators.
The Chartered Institute of Taxation Ghana, CITG, says government should consider ways of ensuring tax compliance rather than introducing new taxes into the system. The president of the institute, Mike Aflu, who made the comment, noted that the inability of the revenue agencies to rope in the large untaxed population is making it difficult to attain revenue targets. Mr. Aflu was speaking at the opening of the fourth annual taxation seminar in Accra. Mercy Dako and Elizabeth Lamte report.
The annual tax conference provides a unique platform for tax administrators, professionals and players to interact. These interactions provide a common platform for discussing the interests of the taxpayer, the tax collector and government, and above all, the development goals of the nation. The focus of this year's conference is on the theme, the relevance of taxation in middle-income economies. The president of the Chartered Institute of Taxation, Michael Aflu, noted that although taxation plays a vital role in the development of the economy, there is a need for government to channel more resources to ensure tax compliance. He cited a model used in Nigeria as an example Ghana should emulate.
widening the tax net does not mean increase in tax rates, but making it easy for people to comply. Once we do that, then you can get to the artisans in Lagos. Artisans are put on a rate of 2,500 naira. Per annum. Some are put on a rate of 5,000 per annum, and they have identifiable groups of artisans, and so nobody escapes. And so through this, the Lagos Internal Revenue Service has been able to raise its tax revenue from 600 million naira a month to over 20 billion naira a month. And so we can do the same thing here. We have tax officers all around the country. And so once we train them, once we're able to provide the training, we will be able to get everybody in.
A Deputy Minister of Finance, Kessel Atufolsen, who represented the Minister of Finance, Seth Tekwe, who is a fellow of the Institute, announced that a Chartered Institute of Taxation Bill has been presented to Cabinet and pledged government support to the Institute.
That was Mercy Dako and Elizabeth Lamte's report. This news comes to you from Radio Ghana Accra, the major stories. Tertiary institutions director to resume next Wednesday. Former aviation minister hails government's decision to establish a new national airline, but cautions against complacency. Four people confirmed dead following chemical explosion in Tema Community 12. Security forces deployed in Monrovia to enforce quarantine in slum areas to curb spread of Ebola. And Thailand's junta leader Prayut Chan Ocha named new prime minister.
TBC mastering the airwaves with nothing but quality news and programming.
Welcome back. Four people have been confirmed dead in a chemical explosion that occurred at a residential area near the Adonai Chapel in Tema Community 12. The victims, all men, including the owner of the house, who is said to be a sub-chief in the eastern region, were dismembered beyond recognition due to the magnitude of the explosion, which also ripped off parts of the roofing. Body parts of the victims were strewn into adjoining houses, and police personnel had to go around picking them. According to sources at the scene, the chemicals that are normally mixed in that house is used to produce matches. The Tema Metropolitan Fire Officer William Blankson narrated the incident to the media at the scene.
A distress call that there has been an explosion at Community 12. So around 12, a crew was dispatched to the scene. And when they got to the scene, found out that there were bodies that had scattered all around, and the building too was heavily cracked. That's the scene that it met. So the other security agencies were informed. They also arrived at the scene. For now, we can't determine what kind of explosion unless investigation is carried out. Although there were chemicals there for tie and dye. So don't know exactly what kind of explosion. They don't manufacture any matches here. The match labels that you find around there, some have been stored in a box, but because of the explosion that those labels were also scattered. Tie and dye chemicals. And even the tie and dye is not done yet. The chemicals that are just tested to know if it will be good for the tie and dye. So it's not a place that they manufacture any tie and dye.
He said the next line of action is to investigate the actual cause of the explosion.
We are going to investigate the situation that caused the explosion. And I think that one, the experts will do it and will bring out their report. The caustic soda, reactive dye, these are the chemicals that are there. So I can confirm if those chemicals can cause that explosion. For that, I don't say that it could be any other thing, because I can't confirm that. So far, what we've seen is the chemicals that they used at the place. And no gas cylinder too has exploded there. All the gas cylinders there are intact. So I can't confirm what caused the explosion. For the bodies, we know that three workers last. He's the owner of the place. He's a sub-chief around Sikiri. Full name, and that's Danso. He's in Danso.
That was the Tema Metropolitan Fire Officer, William Blankson. On the fire front, security forces have been deployed in Liberia's capital, Monrovia, to enforce a quarantine in a large slum area in order to contain the spread of Ebola. The move set off protests from angry residents in West Point, where people gathered at roadblocks to complain. President Erling Johnson Sirleaf has ordered a countrywide nighttime curfew as part of new anti-Ebola measures. The Ghana Journalists Association, GJA, has expressed concern about poor remuneration and working standards of media practitioners. The president of the association, Roland Athelmoney, said this is an indictment on the rights of journalists. He said measures are underway to check and ensure that media practitioners have the legal authority to demand what is rightfully theirs. Mr. Moni said this in Accra when the Melcom Group of Companies donated two 42-inch LED digital television sets and an undisclosed amount of money to support the 19th GGA Awards slated for the 30th of this month.
In terms of corporate social responsibility, MECOM has scored high marks, and it is significant that they are rallying to the support of journalists in this country whose works ignite pride and to contribute immeasurably to enhance our national development in all dimensions. We expect all consumers of media content to identify themselves with this big event. We expect a scramble by consumers of our products, with society, individuals, to support the media. If today Ghana is touted as a beacon of democratic accomplishment in Africa, if Ghana is cited as a reference point of democracy, it's because the media have got it so far.
Mr. Moni lauded Malcolm for its kind gesture and called on other corporate bodies to support the media in their quest to advance national development. The director of communication of Malcolm Group of Companies, Godwin Avenobo, said Malcolm is sponsoring the Development Journalism and Maternal Nutrition Award category. He says supporting the GGA Awards will motivate journalists to perform better and reach higher heights.
They're doing a great job informing, educating, sustaining us. And without journalism, I believe they would have a lot more problems on the political economic front than we have now. We're sponsoring maternal health. We're also sponsoring development journalism. Malcolm believes in national development. We provide information on development needs and effort being made by the people to bring about change. That way, they help bridge the development gap between the districts and the regions for the national benefit. With maternal nutrition, which is the first step to life, begin with the mother. So if the mothers are healthy, good knowledge about nutrition, the child will benefit. This is to support you, to encourage you, to tell you, MECOM appreciates what you're doing as professional journalists and to urge you to perform even better.
That was the director of communication of MECOM Group of Companies. Thailand's junta leader Prayut Chan-o-cha has been named the new prime minister. General Prayut, 60, was nominated in a legislature handpicked by the junta and made up of mostly military and police figures. General Prayut became the head of the army following a dramatic coup in May. The coup came as a result of months of intense political deadlock between Yingluck Shinawatra's government and opposition parties that resulted in protests and clashes. Former Minister of Youth and Sports Elvis Ifri Ankrah yesterday appeared before the Presidential Commission of Inquiry to answer questions relating to the Black Stars appearance in the 2014 FIFA World Cup in Brazil. Mr. Ankrah spent over 2 hours explaining to the Commission what transpired during the team's preparation as well as circumstances that led to some old players being denied visas to Brazil. And the former Minister of Youth and Sports will still face the commission today. And now to end the news, the main points again. Tertiary institutions have been directed to reopen next week, Wednesday. The date was arrived at after the government's interministerial team on Ebola assessed the preparedness of both public and private tertiary institutions. This is contained in a statement signed by the sector minister, Professor Nana Jane Opoku-Agyeman. A former Minister of Aviation in the Kufuor administration, Joe Biduansa, has commended the move by government to establish a new national carrier, but warned that all the necessary measures must be taken to ensure there is no room for failure. 4 people have been confirmed dead in a chemical explosion that occurred at a residential area near the Adonai Chapel in Tema Community 12. The victims are all men, including the owner of the house, who is said to be a sub-chief from the Eastern region. And security forces have been deployed in Liberia, in Liberia's capital, Monrovia, to enforce a quarantine in the large slum area in order to contain the spread of Ebola. The news was presented